Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
The USA Today NFL has their, and USA Today Sports, they have their 2020 NFL projections. They have the Saints winning the NFC South and the Saints winning the NFC and including the Super Bowl. They have the Saints winning the Super Bowl and what would probably end up being Drew Brees' final year. You got to think if he's, this will be the end of it and then he'd just retire, right? You would think.
Pull a John Elway?
Yeah, man, you know, maybe. Maybe. Even though it seems that when guys win it, they seem to, wow, I can win one more. Because, you know, they're competitors. They want to do that. They have in the AFC North, the Bengals at the bottom at 5-11. The Ravens at the top at 13-3, also going to the Super Bowl, but they would lose to the New Orleans Saints. The Steelers at 11-5 is a wild card team. The Browns at 7-9. If the Browns finish 7-9, I think we're probably going to have to start this whole thing all over again.
The whole thing?
I'm starting to get a feeling if they go 7-9. When you see it on paper, it's, I don't know, they're supposed, don't they have the third, and you know I think that this is an overrated thing. Do they not have the third easiest schedule in the NFL?
Yeah, by some metrics,
okay.
I did see that, yes.
By some metrics, they have the third easiest schedule. They still have, by any metric, they still have one of the easiest schedules in the NFL. Now, I, even myself included, will not put a ton of stock into that because there's teams that are good every year. We didn't think we're going to be good. There's teams that are bad. We didn't think we were going to be bad. They got them at 7-9. If you're at 7-9, you've spent all this money on offense. I know the defense is still suspect. I think that the defense is going to hold them back from winning a few of these football games. But, man, if you're 7-9, you know what's going to be said. And I'm just thinking, I don't know if they can finish 7-9 this year, even with everything going on. I don't know how 7-9 is acceptable to the public, where Freddie Kitchens, think about this for a second. Freddie Kitchens is, by and large, what people believe is the worst head coach to coach the Cleveland Browns, right? That maybe that probably includes Hugh. He's the worst head coach that the Cleveland Browns have ever had. They still finished 6-10. You're telling me, and ergo, I think that we're going to have to start all over again if they go to 7-9 this year.
Well, I don't know if I agree with start all over again because I think that's the last thing they would want to do. And if we all say that the Browns have talent,
well, you know what I'm talking about. By starting over. If you want to name names, we can name names. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I imagine we'd be looking at a serious quarterback competition at quarterback the following year if that was the case. Unless the offense was pretty good, but the defense was just like the worst in the NFL, maybe that would be different. You'd still expect Baker to be able to win those shootouts, though, right? I mean, you'd still be hoping, if he's everything you're hoping that he'd be in his third year, that he'd be able to win those games anyway. But yeah, I think 7-9 would be considered by many a massive disappointment by many Browns fans. Although, it's interesting, Kenny, I keep telling you, I look at all these different things. I looked at the over-under was 8.5. I saw NFL or ESPN had their NFL rankings. They had the Browns at 21st after this offseason. And it just seems like they continue, like you said, 7-9. They're not getting the love that they got last year. And you could make the argument that that is a direct response to what happened last year. A lot of national guys feel like the Browns let them down. I think there are some fans that feel that way. They feel like, why should they come in gung-ho, Super Bowl, Super Browns, 10-6, 11-5? Why should they say any of that when they were let down in such a way that people thought last year was worse than 1-15, and some thought it was worse than 0-16?
That's my problem, is why are... it's like, well, they don't trust the Browns. Okay, I got to say, in a lot of ways, it's not like I trust the Browns or anything like that. But if we're doing all this to go 7-9, I mean, 7-9, really? That's the best you can do with this type of group? 7-9? So we traded a first-round pick for Odell Beckham Jr., 7-9. We took number one overall, Baker Mayfield, out of that group. 7-9 is the best we can do? I'm serious. If you go 7-9, that's underwhelming. That is underwhelming for this. And you say it's a quarterback competition. I think that at the end of all this, if you go 7-9, I think people would be perfectly willing with scrapping it at the end of this. 7-9, still sub 500 after all this. So the best you could do with those 3 years with Baker, 7-8-1, 6-10, and 7-9. What's missing? People would automatically look at it and go, "That's your quarterback. That's your quarterback." I think that's what it is. And if we want to, I'm becoming a man live here on air. I think that's what it is. And if we're talking about a serious quarterback competition, what type of quarterback competition is it? People are just going to want to replace the guy. And I can't sit there and blame the head coach every single year. 7-9 to me, and the 21st thing, power rankings are power rankings. I don't like to get too worked up about them. It's people's opinions. This is someone's opinion. But if I see 7-9 on this tone, I mean, hell. What are we? We've been wringing our hands for the last 3 years trying to get this thing going in the right direction. The best I can get to is 7-9. I'm almost going to be, what's it worth it? What's this all been about?
Well, it'll be a referendum on two things. Yeah, it'll be a referendum on two things. Squarely two things. The first thing will be Baker. There's no doubt. The second thing will be the Josh McDaniels versus Stefanski thing. That's what it'll be. Because remember, the big difference here was Jimmy Haslam and the Browns brass, Dee Podesta and the like, they did not think they had to overhaul the whole front office. They did not think that, or their way of doing things, or their way of reporting, and how essentially the hierarchy. Mm-hmm. Okay, the opposite side of that would have been to hire Josh McDaniels and allow him to create a different hierarchy. And so those are the two things that there's going to be a referendum on if they don't play well. And let's hope that's not the case. Let's hope they go out there and go 10-6. And like I told you, Ken, what a validation it would be if this team has a great year. Because it means Baker's the guy, and it also means that your front office / head coach are not only simpatico, they're in the right direction. That's the key.
And it would justify one person in there, because you just hit it right there, who everybody would blame. I could look at Baker and blame Baker because he'd be the quarterback, so the quarterback does get a lot of blame. But I think you just named the name of names right there when you said Paul Dee Podesta. He's the easiest one to take a shot at, is he not? He's not here. He insists on working from a remote location. That's hey, if he can do the job, okay, fine. I guess I'm going to have to deal with that. But he insists on doing things his way. And in the one steady thing throughout the last 5 years, going on six now, has been Paul Dee Podesta. So if they go 7-9, we can say what we want to about Baker. We can say what we want to about Stefanski. But who wanted Stefanski last year? Who would want Stefanski again? Like, I have to stress this, that 7-9 is just simply not going to be acceptable to Cleveland Browns fans coming up in January. Like, you can say, you can go into it with as open of a mind as you want to on May 18th, but you and I both know I'm telling the truth here, Tone.
So you don't care, let's say 7-9, 8-8, because I mean that they're right there. 7-9, 8-8, and even really 9-7, but let's stick with 7-9, 8-8. They're right there. If that's the case, if they go 8-8, that is an improvement. Remember, you guys always talk about improvement. You're telling me at the end of the year, if they go 8-8. We're not going to say, all right, maybe we're a year away. Maybe next year is the year.
If you finish 8-8, I mean, it's two wins better than 6-10. I think you got a massive decision to make about one of your wide receivers, if not both, honestly. But I certainly think one of your wide receivers is going to have a massive decision to make about him. I think that there will definitely be people on one side or the other about Baker Mayfield. I think that he will have obviously played better, but we're not through the woods yet. Not out of the woods yet with him. You're going to pick up his option. I do think that there is a difference in one game. I think that 8-8 looks like you've made an improvement. 7-9, you're still stuck under 500. You went 1-31 for 7-9. You did all this for 7-9. I mean, and then where else? Honestly, Anthony, where else do you go? We drafted the quarterback number one overall. We have one of the best defensive ends in the league, who are probably going to pay $20+ million a year after this season. Or even going into this season, who knows? They're still talking. So if I'm making these decisions here, if I'm a Browns fan and the best I can get is 7-9, unless Baker Mayfield goes out there and throws for 4,500 yards and 40-plus touchdowns and the defense is just that awful, unless the defense is just as abysmal as anybody could have ever dreamed or had a nightmare on, that's the only way I think it even being somewhat palatable. If they go 7-9, according to this projection, I think we're having a completely different conversation.
Yeah, and I wonder also when I talk about referendum, you know, this offseason, and we didn't really complain about it, but this offseason, they went offense. That was what mattered to them, and also the Case Keenum thing, in addition to, you know, shoring up that offensive line and also getting another tight end, and then they drafted another tight end. Like, they were all about offense this offseason because their offense was disappointing last year, but we know the defense was also disappointing last year, and they didn't exactly do anything. Well, let's be honest here. Most of what they did on defense was stopgap 1 year because they know they're willing to address it next year. So that'll be what's so interesting with this, depending on how they finish, is this year was offense. Next year could be defense.
Let me get to the phones.
And you're hoping, that you don't need a new quarterback because then that detracts from your ability to add to the defense.
216-578-0092. Todd in Lakewood, you're next up on the Fan. Hello, Todd.
Hey, guys. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing well, Todd. Go ahead, bud.
You know, 7-9, it's almost like looking at a presidential poll, and it's a generic poll. You don't know who the candidates are, but you're predicting one party or the other. How did that 7-9 play out? Was Baker still shaky? Were there a lot of injuries? Was the fact that we never did get a chance to address our linebackers? I mean, why is it 7-9 is one thing. Plus, there is mitigating circumstances of having a brand new coach and not getting the OTAs and not him being able to get his guys all together and institute his playbook to a point where normally you would be able to do that. I think those are all mitigating enough issues to not say automatically 7-9, we got to almost start over, because I don't buy that. I think there's just too much unknown. This whole year is going to be really bizarre. But I want to caution myself not to kind of play the schedule game and not say, well, we should go 3-3, 4-2 in the division to start with. And then we're halfway to 8-8 at that point. And there are some big holes, maybe, in the opponents that we face. This shouldn't be an issue. But
well,
if it is... We need to know why before we address, do we need to start over or not? Why did we not get to 8-8? And just do it generically, I think it's premature.
But Todd, I think you're very reasonable about it. You're very reasonable, and thank you for the call. I think if I said the same thing, though, I think a lot of people are saying you're making excuses for so-and-so. If I were to say the same thing, I think that especially Lima will take that as me making excuses. I've given them as explanations. People take them as excuses. That's fine, because they want to look at it in a different way. If you're 7-9 after all of this, people are going to start, hey, we're out of excuses for Baker. We've done all this for Baker. We've done all this for this football team and this way of thinking. It's going in a different direction here. Like, I don't know how else to stress it. I know that if I say those things, and those are reasonable things, the coronavirus stuff, not being able to open up the facility, what's the story for tomorrow, I think it is, that you can open up the facility, but you're not allowed to have players and coaches and workouts and all the other stuff. So technically, you can go in the building tomorrow. As far as courtesy of the NFL, every team's going to make their own decisions there, but courtesy of the NFL, you can go in the building tomorrow. But I think that there's plenty of things that, yes, would give an explanation. I just don't think they're going to be acceptable to Browns fans. I think if you're 7-9, at the end of this season, there's going to be people looking at number 6 and probably looking at Stefanski and certainly looking at Paul DeBodesta over all this. I think that there's going to be more blame instead of optimism. At 7-9, we did all that. All this for still sub-500 football? That was fun in 2018.
Yeah.
It's not fun in 2020.
No, I think you're exactly right. I think expectations are it's time for this team to actually take a step forward, because for them to take a step backwards last year was just humiliating. And it's why a lot of people got fired. Well, this time they're not going to fire everybody again. It's going to be on your quarterback and on your defense.
Have you adjusted your expectations? 216-578-0092. That coming up. And the real reason why Michael had the flu in the flu game. It's Ken Carmen with Anthony Lima, live on the Fan. I think a lot of people are trying to be open-minded about what we were saying. USA Today, they had their projections. There are record projections. And it says right here in the AFC North, the Ravens finished 13-3. I'll tell you right off the rip, I don't know if I believe that they're going to be that good again this year. Steelers 11-5, Browns 7-9, Bengals 5-11. The Bengals were a two-win football team last year, three more wins. Isn't that bad of an improvement? I think that would probably be pretty good. Rookie quarterback, everything going on, that's fine. Steelers 11-5, that's a lot of stock in Big Ben from those projections from USA Today. The Ravens at 13-3. I think the Ravens are still probably a double-digit win football team.
There's no chance. Yeah, I'm not buying.
You go back to back with over a dozen wins, 14-2, and 13-3.
Yeah, part of it. It's not because I don't think they're going to be good. I do think they're going to be good. And Calais Campbell is a huge, huge addition. But losing Yanda, whatever his name is,
Yanda,
from the offensive
line. He's the guy,
line.
By the way. He's lost like 70 pounds since he announced his retirement.
Has he really?
Yeah.
Another Joe Thomas. So I think the Ravens are still going to be. They're still going to be really good, but I also think part of the edge might be off them in the regular season because their postseason failing, which. It almost surprised doesn't get talked about more. I mean, that is a humiliating way to go out, the way that they were dominant, had won 12 in a row, and then get taken down in their only playoff game after they made questionable decisions regarding resting everybody.
Yeah, but you remember...
Basically, guys had like a three-week hiatus for that game.
Everybody just assumes that they're strengthened by this, that they're emboldened by it. We had Weinman on a couple of times, and Ken said during the around the AFC North that they're out for blood this year. That's a wake-up call and they're out for blood. Okay, maybe very well could be. Maybe very well could be. I can't say that they're going to have a hangover or anything like that from that game or from that season. But the thing I'm pointing out is that, yeah, on May 18th, it's very easy to keep a cool, calm, collected head. But if they are 7-9 and January's here and they are 7-9, I think some people are going to be thinking very differently of this organization, very differently of DePodesta, and obviously very, very differently of Baker Mayfield, their quarterback. I think that it goes without saying that if I talk about the same things that we've had a couple of callers and tweeters talk about, I think that's all reasonable. It's not that I disagree, but I think if I say that in May, it's reasonable. If I say the same exact thing in January, it's Ken's making excuses for this team. Because what do people say? You are what you are. You are what your record is. If you're a 7-9 disappointment, you're a 7-9 disappointment no matter what. I think that's the way that people feel about them. And so if you were going to go 7-9 and we could say, well, you didn't get this call here, you didn't get that one there, I just don't think that's going to wash. I don't think that's going to wash, especially if you look around the league and, you know, you see the Bills at 10-6. That means Josh Allen, and I'm just going by theirs. But the Bills at 10-6, that means Josh Allen is the best of the bunch. You got the Jets at 5-11. That means, hey, at least you avoided Sam Darnold if that's the case. So, it turns out I wasn't right and that Josh Allen would probably have been the best of the bunch. So there's just some things that, again, I have to question what we're going to be thinking in January if you have a 7-9 football team and this is year three of 7-8-1, 6-10, and then 7-9, and you went 1-31 before that. I don't know if that's going to wash with a lot of folks. Let me get to Lewis and Shaker. You're first up on the fan. Go ahead.
How you doing, Ken? How you doing, Lyman? Anybody who knows football can tell that this offense is set up for him to manage it. It's 3 yards and a cloud of dust. Not Eric Coryell. Now, we all know that, you know, we're going to run the ball a lot. Now, when teams start to adjust, you know, for us stop the run, you know, put eight in the box, then that opens up the pass. So hopefully by then, you know, Baker has settled down, you know, trusting his offensive line and be able to kill him with the pass. So 7-9 is unacceptable because, like I said, this team is set up for him to manage it. You know, not to be Super Baker Mayfield. So I can't take 7-9. 7-9, 10-6, and I don't know how they pick Pittsburgh to go 11-5. Pittsburgh is not that talented.
Well, so what's an acceptable record to you? Did you just say 10-6 is acceptable? Because I honestly, Lewis, and it is the difference. 10-6 is the acceptable record to you. Because I think when I say this, I think it's flimsy to a lot of people. I think 8-8 just looks a lot better, doesn't it? 8-8 looks okay. You're on the right track. You've done this better. There's reasons here. 8-8 seems reasonable. Like, you wouldn't fire Kevin Stefanski after 8-8. People, yeah, well, I think that when they see 7-9, people there will be people who call in about him at 7-9.
Okay, Ken, if you give the talent that we have on offense to Ben Roethlisberger, he goes 13-3, 12-4. Easy. Easy.
So, Ben Roethlisberger now, or Ben Roethlisberger in his prime? Because Ben Roethlisberger's 38, seeing pictures of him drinking IC.
I still say now, if you give him the talent that we have and give it to him, I still say he goes 13-3.
Man, if he still goes 13-3, what are we doing?
10-6. All 9-7, maybe, but 10-6.
Lewis, thank you very much for the call. I'm willing to do that. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say about Pittsburgh real quick. The reason anybody has faith in them at all is because they're the Pittsburgh Steelers. They went 8-8 last year with bad quarterback play, and their defense took a huge step forward. However, flip side of that is they won a ton of one-possession games. And normally history dictates that if that happens one year, you're not going to win them the next year. It all really just boils down to, can Big Ben play the position? And the Big Ben we knew when he was good and he dominated this division and he dominated the Browns forever, he was able to kind of make a couple guys miss, and then while he's going down, still be able to make throws. If he's just going down right away, that's totally different Big Ben. And if he can't launch that ball down the field, remember, no Antonio Brown anymore. Juju Smith-Schuster is not the guy I think that people thought he was. I mean, he's talented, but he's not. They just thought they'd be able to grow those wide receivers on trees and that they would have a lot of ability to throw the ball deep down the field. I don't see it this year with them.
I think you're right. I think you're right in basically everything you say. But I love what you said about the one possession things, because it did show a good coaching job. Let's not lie about that. On the other side of that, what did you just say, though, about what people – well, people pick the Steelers to go 11-5 because they're the Steelers and they have Big Ben back. Isn't that the same reason people are picking the Browns to be sub-500 again and ranking them 21st in the power rankings? Isn't that the same exact thing where, hey, you know what, it's the Browns. Like, it's the Steelers. I'm going to believe the Steelers until they give me a legitimate reason not to believe them anymore. The Browns, I'm not going to believe the Browns until they give me a legitimate reason to believe them. Because there were so many people, I think, that look at this, and they got on the bandwagon last year, and I think they feel embarrassed about getting on the bandwagon last year, so they don't want to do it again this year. There's just certain teams that people are going to give the benefit of the doubt. Now, the Browns have given them a 20-year head start to not give them the benefit of the doubt, because the San Francisco 49ers, people assume would be back, and they will be. The Steelers, people assume they're going to be back, and they probably will be. The Browns, you gave them one shot. Things went to hell. I don't think people want to believe them because they don't want to look silly anymore. And you know what? That's probably the right move. I can't say through 20 years that I've picked the Browns so many times and I've come out looking like a smart person. No. But I just keep going back to the dictation of 7-9 might be reasonable. I think 8-8, I'm willing to say one game, if you go 8-8, it looks better. If you go 8-8, you're not going to do anything. One of those games, I think it is this simple. In your 7-9, at the end of that year, people are calling us up in January going, I can't believe we did this for 7-9 again. What is going on? And people are looking at it going, you know, Trevor Lawrence, even though he might have only played 9 games this year because of what's going on in college football, Trevor Lawrence looked really good. Can we make a trade up for him? Justin Fields, God knows they love Justin Fields around these parts, and rightfully so. Maybe Justin Fields is the type of guy that people call. Can we trade up for that guy? Because you're not going to be low enough to where you're just probably naturally going to be there. And probably some of these teams that are at the top of the draft, maybe they still need quarterbacks, maybe they don't. Maybe they feel they're perfectly fine. Like right now they have projected the Panthers to be 3-13. Well, would they move on from Teddy Bridgewater? That would say that they would be, but maybe they hold on to him. Same thing can be said for Jacksonville. They probably wouldn't move. They probably wouldn't keep Gardner Minshew if they're going to just sit there and be 3-13. They'd probably move on and find their guy. But it's a discussion that people are going to want to have. If you're a 7-9 football team, that means that something's wrong. Especially if you were supposed to be a competitive team last year and you're still stuck under 500. I just think it's a horrible, horrible look that people say they can accept now. But I think when it's put into practice in January, people are going to be very upset about that type of thing.
100%. You keep coming back to saying, you know, we did all this to get to a certain record.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand that. The Browns are, you know, in that group of teams that, you know, like the Bears. The Bears, you know, their fans are going nuts, absolutely going nuts about the fact that they took a step backwards last year. And that they had one of the best defenses 2 years ago in the NFL and had nothing to show for it. I mean, you are to a point where you're the Browns where, look, I don't want to be sitting here at the end of every season questioning the front office. And that's what we do. That's what we do every single season. So it would be a disaster if they had another year where we're going into the offseason going, all right, are we going in the right direction? Do we have to get rid of not only the starting quarterback looks like he's underperforming, but we also have to think about the coach and the GM again? Like, I can't do that every year. I just can't do it every year.
People are going to, though. If you keep finishing under 500, people are going to do that. I'll table that for a minute. We got Tom Haberstraw joining us coming up at 9:20.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.